Hey, as SEOs, we're constantly working down a slew of to-dos to improve our site. But we can get locked into an unending cycle of trying to perfect something that cannot be perfected. We're dismantling SEO professionalism with Christine Azarenko live today on The Edge.
Go! Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is Christina Azarenko, SEO consultant and founder of Marketing Syrup Digital Incorporated. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
Oh, hey, well, welcome to a live edition of Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks with Site Strategics. Every week, we bring you amazing guests to chat with and trending digital marketing news topics. We unpack a key marketing topic for our digital marketing audience. So whether you're a part of an agency or a freelancer or part of a firm, this show is for you. So check out everything that we do over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. The Edge of the Web is actually brought to you by our title sponsor, Site Strategics. We're pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are technical SEO, social media marketing and management, search engine marketing management, as well as conversion rate optimization and kind of the omni-channel media broadcast of what you're participating right now. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, simply jump over to sitestrategics.com. Give us a call as well over at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. Some housekeeping real quick. We want to let you know here coming up, we're going to be having our podcast of Olga Sarzenchina as we talk about a lot of great SEO analysis tools. Be sure to check out the recent shows we did with JD Prater and Joe Martinez, as well as Garrett Sussman and Bill Slosky. Had some fantastic time with those individuals. If you're interested in being part of the show, just let us know. Jump into your email and just give us a ping at info@edgeofthewebradio.com. That's info@edgeofthewebradio.com. Set your reminders for YouTube whenever we drop some video, as well as go live as well. So along with that, we want to make sure that you join our newsletter. So you can text to the number 228-28, the word Edge Talk, and sign up right there. You can also go over to edgeofthewebradio.com, sign up free of charge. Obviously, each and every week, we're bringing you all the news of the week, along with our guest that we've interviewed for that week, as well as some pro tips and a couple key insights to help you with your SEO digital marketing efforts of the week. So be sure to jump in there. We love bringing you that type of information on a regular basis. All right. So that lastly, make sure you check out our weekly podcast about news of the week with our co-host, Morty Oberstein, head of communications over at Semrush. We tackle all the news of the week and hopefully get through it without Morty breaking one of our wheels on our cart. So check that out. We drop it every Tuesday morning as well as we can get it in front of you for your early digital marketing tactics of the week. All right. So with all that to do, hey, this is our live broadcast with After the Web. We haven't done one of these in a while. Great to be able to bring in our expert industry guest. Her name is Christina Azarenko. She's been on the show before. She's the founder of Marketing Syrup, and she's also a specifically talented SEO focused on e-commerce and technical SEO. She's a consultant based out of Toronto, Canada, and she helps small and medium-sized businesses get traffic and focus primarily on e-commerce SEO. Over the years, she's been on the show back in October of 2020. She's been so active in the SEO community. It's been stunning. Christina has actively actually led SEOs in the field with a 45-day and 30-day SEO challenge course has been doing very, very well. And check out what she's been putting together here. 18 hours of video training, a VIP Slack community, homework checklists for your SEO challenge for participants of that. Checklists and templates, a series of mastermind calls with Christina, SEO help documents, and a full course for SEOs and non-SEOs alike. So it's a fantastic tool. I usually don't lead with a kind of a commercial for the guest, but this is a special situation. Christina has been producing such great content for the SEO community. I wanted to let people know about this course as quickly as possible. We'll talk more about this here in a second. Christina's been named one of the top 13 women who are shaping the SEO industry by Search Engine Land, and she continues to contribute daily into this industry. So we wanted to get her on, talk about some of her recent posts and what it means to actually kind of break apart this mystique of trying to go after SEO perfectionism when it comes down to technical SEO and the like. But before anything else, Christina, thanks for joining our show today.
Thanks, everyone. And hi, everyone who's listening, who's watching us. I'm really, really happy to be here. And I'm really happy to talk about SEO perfectionism today, because this is one of the topics that I've been sharing a lot of information about in my posts and also with my students inside of the SEO Challenge. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here today. And if you have any questions, also like pop up in the chat, the questions. So I'll be happy to answer them.
Christina, thank you for joining us on our live show here. Before anything else, can you share a little bit about your history that I didn't introduce in the bio? Give us an understanding of how you came to be one of the top 13 women shaping the SEO industry this year.
Being an SEO is not something that I thought I would be when I was just a small girl, right? This is not something that you think that, oh, I want to be an SEO in the future, right? SEO didn't even exist at that point. So it was a long and interesting journey. And I think one of the biggest values that helped me to transfer the knowledge and basically the SEO mindset is that I know how hard it can be sometimes, first of all, to start. Secondly, to be confident in what you're doing, because sometimes it's just hard, especially in our SEO industry. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been through this because I've been in SEO for like 10 plus years, and I've been through ups and downs. Not in my career. My career has always been like good and great, mm-hmm. I'd say, but in terms of my feelings about myself in this industry and also how I thought everything worked, this was completely different, right, from what I see now. And it's not, and now I'm talking, so what I want to talk about today, not just, okay, here is an SEO, you need keywords, you need title tags. I want to shift to the SEO mindset. Mm-hmm. This is the main thing that we are going to cover today.
Very good. Well, we certainly give you all the accolades for what you're doing in the community. You had a post in LinkedIn that caught my attention, and I pivoted around and wanted to see whether or not you wanted to talk about it. It is about SEO perfectionism and trying to do everything and kind of getting bottled up in just the living and dying by the technical audit scorecard, for lack of a better description. So we entitled this show Dismantling SEO Perfectionism, and that's for a very good reason. There's a mindset in the SEO industry that everything has to be tied down in order to accomplish correct SEO. And we're going to talk about those audits in a minute, but SEO does start with the right mindset. So let's break SEO into its subparts first. I mean, you've got the technical SEO, and there's a lot of other parts underneath technical SEO, but you also have content SEO and its cousin, kind of the semantic SEO space, where we're relating content inbound and internally. They all have their respective analytical and marketing combination. Right. So what is the right mindset? What's the first thing that you need to establish for either new SEOs or seasoned SEOs? What do you start with?
The whole course starts with basically setting up the website, but it's not about setting up the website. Mm-hmm. It's about doing something hands-on, because sometimes, and I've seen it in my career, that if someone works just at an agency, okay, you came working at an agency, that's great, but you get basically ready websites and you have no idea how to actually set up, like, let's say Google Search Console and everything, or how to actually set your own website if it's just a WordPress website. Mm-hmm. And this gives a much better, like, rounded understanding of how things work. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm a big lover of having your own sites to play with, because whenever, for example, you want to even with like Google Tag Manager, Google Analytics, or with testing some technical SEO things as well. Like, for example, you can always use your website. You can kill it. Everything is fine. But you want to make sure that you test some things before you actually roll them out on your client's website.
Yeah, absolutely.
So basically, it doesn't mean that everybody, I think that being a technical SEO and being really, really, really good at content, it requires kind of different skill sets. Mm-hmm. But so it's all when it comes to niching down, you can be either or if you are really great at both of them, that's great as well. But I mean, you still need to understand like the overall picture of how things work. So that's why in my course, I go from the very beginning through all the steps. So that is basically like knowledge gap filler for people, because they can be really good at content, but then you might be panicking when some technical issue happens. It's just not good. And also you can be really good at technical, but then you have no idea what intent is. You're trying just to rank a page and you don't understand why it's not ranking, while kind of very good, right? And technically solid, but you don't think about the intent. You don't think about more like marketing side behind it. So that's why I believe that to be a really good SEO, you need to be on, you need to have experience on different sides, and then you're free to choose, you're free to niche down in certain areas, in certain industries, or certain SEO spheres, like international SEO, for example.
There you go. You could have a kind of a balance of your preferred diet. If you like the technical, have some sandbox websites that you can have no fear of breaking things on. Have that at your disposal, but you should certainly appreciate the marketing and the research of intent component as well inside of technical. But it's really about research of intent, understanding intent, being able to reduce friction to be able to get that content as available to that user as possible. We have to also recognize the UX side of things, because once that user gets there, being able to move them to that next discovery or build upon the query, that's a UX, that's an additional understanding of intent and content that can firmly be not in the technical SEO's camp. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And so my initial post was also talking about being perfectionist is basically when I first started in SEO, I was thinking that I needed to fix everything. Let's say one of the examples would be to internal links for a redirect, right? So we know that redirect looks, we know that they're not really good, but also it's just like one redirect is between the initial page and the target page. And this is really not something that people click on a lot. You don't need to obsess. You don't need to obsess about all of these things to get this right, because you might not be seeing the whole picture behind this.
I
see many people like having, okay, we need to do this, this, and this, and they don't have any prioritization, first of all. And secondly, it's so easy to go down the rabbit hole, especially in SEOs. We have such a curious mind. We want to dig. We want to to really go deep, right? And this is what makes us good, right? But at the same time, we need to find where this point to end and to basically shift the focus to the whole picture, the bigger picture of things.
Absolutely. And that really comes to pass whenever you're looking at a technical SEO audit. There are so many factors. There's so many checklists that, and all these tools have so many different suggestions and recommendations. Prioritization as well is one of the key things. But if your content's not passing muster and it's not valuable, you're looking at the trees, not the forest. But it is a mindset of prioritization. So having a priority list has to be educated by not only your industry knowledge, but also the site knowledge itself. From a right mindset for an SEO, does it actually also constitute attitude going into a project?
Definitely. I remember myself many years ago when you just look at the website and you start thinking and you just go down the rabbit hole again, right? You're just like, okay, we need to change this, we need to change this, change this. But then what's the impact? How do you make sure that you're communicating that this is going to have an impact? And you should be sure that this is going to have an impact, right?
Yep.
I'd say that I have a framework, which is something. So when I look at the website, I start finding things that are of different priority, but then afterwards I just move up those that are most important, those that would be low-hanging fruit. Sometimes it can be content. Sometimes if the content is not indexed, then sorry, we can write the best content ever. But if there is something, for example, with JavaScript and Google not being able to index, like to crawl and index it, then we are not going to concentrate on content at this point.
Yep.
So it's all about being discoverable and also delivering best user experience and the best content.
We're proud to have Wix as a sponsor for our Edge of the Web interview podcast series. They're always building, so check out what's happening on Wix. URL customization on Wix is now available on product pages. You can now customize URL path prefixes and even create a flat URL structure if that floats your boat. Plus, Wix automatically takes care of creating 301 redirects for all impact URLs. Full rollout is coming soon. Visit wix.com/SEO to learn more. Wix, always evolving.
A good example of this would be Corporate Vitals. Mm-hmm. Corporate Vitals are important, mm-hmm. definitely. Mm-hmm. And they are about user experience, they are about page speed, but also they are part of user experience. And I strongly believe that the quality of your content also part of user experience, because if a user comes to your website and your content is not really good, then it will influence user decision. They might just leave your website and go to your competitors, right? So when we talk about when so many companies were obsessed about Google Corporate Vitals, and on one hand, it is good because Google made it so much easier to communicate the importance of them to clients.
Right.
So this is good. But at the same time, some clients were just panicking while they did not have the foundations first, mm-hmm. The content first. So it's also about the balancing of things that obviously you need to concentrate on. Plus, how I like naming it is reactive SEO, is sometimes when something comes out, something new, people start obsessing about it. They don't know exactly what the impact is going to be, how is it going to work. They just jump right on without thinking about anything else. And a good example of this was back, 2017, maybe, mm-hmm. when Google changed meta descriptions length from 160 characters to 320, something like that.
Right.
I know many SEOs were jumping like, okay, we need to change all our meta descriptions. And for a very huge website, especially if you're not using templates, mm-hmm. it's very, very time consuming. And then it was really ridiculous. Then a few months later, Google switched back. And so you just lost surprise. All of this time of your work. Yeah, absolutely. Surprise, surprise. So that's why I'm saying being reactive to everything what's happening, and SEO is so dynamic, right? We need to react, but we do not need to be reactive without understanding the impact and understanding the whole picture.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to unpack a couple of the things here. Is one, you have to have contextual knowledge of the importance of something that either Google's saying or that we know in the ecosystem. And you're absolutely right. That was a perfect example of an overreaction based on a small data point that Google's paying attention to. And the Core Web Vitals is another thing, is that we've been in Core Web Vital panic for months leading up to the page user experience. But at the same time, Google was very forthcoming, telling us that it was only going to be looked on as a tiebreaker. If you have neck and neck content, then it would look and lean towards a faster page, a better user experience. So the other part of what you're talking about here was the scientific mindset. You got to know how to measure an effect that you're trying to create, right? So if you just look at metrics without behavior, then all you're doing is working down a sheet. So you got to know what you're paying attention to. If you're improving speed, then the user behavior, the time on page. You want to be able to look at something that's a direct correlation to the factors that you're putting out there, right? So it's a scientific mindset. You set the hypothesis, watch, be able to know what you're going to measure, watch the changes, and then learn from the effort, either reverse it or continue on that particular path.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. And also, not only whether it's working in general, but also does it help to meet the business goals?
Perfect.
A really huge example, I think many people have encountered it in their careers, is that sometimes you can increase traffic tenfold, but this can be traffic that does not convert. I remember I had a website, so it came to me and I was like, okay, cool. So they really had huge traffic spikes over the period of a few months before they came to me, right? And they were saying, okay, cool, someone helped us to get this traffic on our website. But then I checked and it was traffic to one of the blog posts, and the blog post was not connected at all to what the company was doing. The blog post was about some house that was sold in the US for like the biggest price, which is cool. But if they, for example, were real estate agency, and especially the real estate agency who sold this house, that would be perfect. Or insurance, like for example, house insurance that is needed when you sell a house or buy a house, then it can be somehow connected. But if your website is about, let's say, cats and dogs, and you have this post, that's cool, but you don't have any conversions on it. So it's a really fine line between doing a really good job and bringing real results that meet business values.
Absolutely. Business goals. Yeah. You can bring a lot of traffic to a page or a site, and it has no bearing on what the customer's actual intent is. And that's really a chasm that technical SEOs need to be able to cross over, is understanding the marketing SEO side of things, the implicit understanding of the user. I mean, the first step is you have to know what the target audience is and what they're actively searching for, right? And then making sure the content that you produce is actually answering those questions. I know it's kind of academic what we're talking about here, but if you're mired or myopic on the technical SEO side of things, and you're not paying attention to, does this site answer the questions from a utility standpoint and a knowledge of subject matter? Because we understand that we're in the space of semantic SEO. We're in the era of the Google Knowledge Graph. And Google's wanting to learn from your site, do you know what you're talking about? And if you don't have related subject matter, if you have some errant blogs out there that have nothing to do, like you said, with the content and the focus of solving those problems for the customers, then invariably you may have traffic, but it won't work for your overall business goals. So that means that you have to understand far beyond the mechanics side of things from an SEO standpoint. You've got to know what the intent of the consumer is, what the business goals of the other client are, and how well you're actually accomplishing that on the website. So you got to know your patient, right?
Exactly. That's exactly correct. And sometimes you might think, especially when you don't talk to a client, or I don't think that you might talk about, I might ask some questions. This is ridiculous, but this is true because we're all human. But sometimes people, especially while working at agencies, that's something that I saw. People are afraid to talk to clients and ask questions, especially specialists who do the actual job, right? So they're afraid to talk to clients, and they might find, for example, keywords that are good, but the client wants to concentrate on another part of their business, right? Or another set of products. And it's already not about SEO, it's about communication and a deeper understanding. But that's what helps you be more successful as an SEO as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's pivot over this to a focus on trying to do everything in SEO perfectly. There's a mentality there that kind of goes beyond just the skills of SEO or technical SEO. You can get yourself tunnel visioned on things in life.
Yeah.
You don't have to attend to everything. You have to understand the priority of issues. So let's talk about prioritization and understanding what the big impacts are as opposed to the smaller ones. What are some of the bigger efforts that are necessary for any SEO? What's the first things that they should be paying attention to?
So I would just break it down to three things. So indexability, crawlability, and content, where content can be partially from technical perspective, partially from content perspective. I'll talk about it in a minute. But with crawlability, you obviously need to make sure that Google can crawl the website and that it can crawl the pages that you want it to crawl, right? You also need to make sure that Google can index the content that you want Google to index. It has happened in my experience that, for example, oh my God, this just remembered a situation when a client came to me. It was they just migrated to JavaScript-based platform and they lost basically everything. They had just one page, their homepage that was indexed by Google, and it was in reality redirecting to some other internal page of the website, which was completely a mess. And with everything that I found in the audit, I was like, maybe it's better for you just to roll out the previous version,
right?
Because it's just so you'll spend so much time on fixing this version. Maybe you just need to roll out the previous version before you migrate it.
Got it.
So obviously, indexing is important, and then content. I'm not even talking about have the right. Have a particular length of content, words on the page, but are all pages that you want Google to see, are they even created? Mm-hmm. A good example of this is faceted navigation in e-commerce stores. This is a classic example and one of the biggest possible opportunities for e-commerce. If you have filters that are non-indexable, but they can potentially be something that people will be searching for, right? You can make sure that they are indexable. And this can be done with technical SEO plus content. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you would need to create all the pages from scratch. You can use other ways to do this on a more scalable level.
Right.
But yeah, you need to, in addition to crawlability, indexability, you need to actually make sure that the content exists in the first place.
Right.
Do exactly. You create these pages that can then be crawled and indexed by Google and then ranked?
That's an accurate focus on prioritization. Is you have to be able to make sure that it's crawlable before anything else. But when you get down to it, what you're talking about is that indexing of filterable content. What you're really finding your way towards the consumer's needs is that. If they're using a particular filter, right, or if you see search being done on the site and you see active regular queries that you don't have a specific page for, be able to build those type of filterable object that is a combination of intent research for the consumer standpoint, technical SEO knowledge, as well as getting the dev team in place to be able to unpack that e-com platform a little bit more to be able to create that destination page so the user doesn't have to filter through it or search for it. It's already there, available and indexed. And that's kind of the nexus of technical SEO, the marketing SEO and dev. So that's a very apropos space to be able to park here for a second, because if you just focus on technical, you're never going to see the larger picture that we're talking about here. Got to understand the big impacts, got to understand the small impacts, but you can't get overwhelmed with that technical SEO report because you wouldn't be able to see the hands-on practical application at hand if you can read the behavior of your users. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. So that's why SEO is not just SEO. You need to be a marketer as well.
Absolutely.
And it's really important. So that's why I would say that the threshold to the industry is quite low. Mm-hmm. But then to stay in the industry and be successful, it requires so many more other skills as well. Yeah. And being a marketer is one of the things. And communication, you need to be able to communicate with your client, with your colleagues. Like, for example, talking to a support team has been one of the biggest things that helped me to achieve real great success for one of my clients previously, because they get the questions from the potential clients. They know what people are asking, because sometimes, guess what, you won't find these keywords in SEO tools. And if you do, then these keywords will be showing zero search. But if your clients are asking this, if your clients are searching for this, then it might make sense to create a page addressing this. Like, for example, like we created FAQ, different FAQ pages answering different questions. Absolutely. And people were searching for it.
It creates even a better brand loyalty, because it shows that the company is actually providing content. It's listening to its customers. It's understanding what's what's plighting the customer or what are actively being requested from customer service. So it's a great tactic to be able to mine your internal resources, salespeople as well as customer service, because those are the touch points for your consumers. Make sure you listen to the second part of the Christina Azarenko interview by visiting edgeofthewebradio.com. Follow Christina Azarenko at AzOurChick and follow us on Twitter at Edge Web Radio. Thanks to our sponsors, Site Strategics and Wix. Be sure to check out all the must-see videos and much more insider information at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. If you can't wait, we have the entire interview on our YouTube channel. Just search Edge of the Web. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with others, because sharing is caring. From all of us over at Edge, be safe, be well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.